We are back with our show here on this Tuesday, May 28th. You're listening to the Sheldon McLeod Show on News 95.7. Matt Brand is our producer. We'll be chatting with a man involved with a baseball team, and Goodwill Tours is the name of the organization. We'll hear from Dennis Woodworth coming up after 2 this afternoon. And we'll be joined by an associate professor in the Department of International Studies at Dalhousie University. A team of baseball players from Cuba wants to come to Halifax or to Nova Scotia. But because the Canadian embassy is shut down, that's not possible. We're going to tell you about that story. You're only going to hear here on this radio station, on this radio program, on News 95.7. This was a story we brought you last week. It was on the past Mother's Day that marked 10 years of the tragic unsolved murder of Tanya Brooks. There was a march to, in many ways, make sure that Tanya is not forgotten. Tanya Brooks, 36 of Millbrook. On the line with us is Shelley Sprague. And Shelley Sprague is responsible for putting up a crowdfunding, a GoFundMe page. And we're going to find a little bit more right now. Shelley, thank you for doing this. You were at that rally a few weeks ago. What was that like for you?
Thanks for having me on. Yes, I was. It was emotional. Vanessa brought everyone down to where Tanya was found at the school. And we had prayer and song and left tobacco offerings at the spot. And then we went back to the center, the Native Center up on Gottigen. Mm-hmm. And we had gathering of her friends and family, those that took part in the walk. And at the very end, before I left, I presented Tanya, sister Vanessa, with an art piece that I did with her family, her children.
This is Shelley Sprague with us, and you're talking about Vanessa. Vanessa is Tanya's sister, correct?
Yes.
The story is tough to hear, and you mentioned the school, the St. Patrick's Alexander School. That's where this young woman's remains, this woman who is a member of the First Nations community, was found. You'd mentioned that a number of folks had left items along with this group, this rally. You were there recently?
Yes, I was. So I was on the phone with Vanessa, and she said that a few days after the walk, she took one of Tanya's friends there just to show her. They wanted to go privately, and they noticed that the offerings that were left were gone. They were scattered. They were removed. Some were feet away. And that really upset me. So I went down yesterday and took a look for myself. And it didn't look the same to me. Mm. I just feel that is something that's a sacred spot. It's like going to somebody's graveyard and disrupting it. I don't think that people should do that. They should be very well aware of why those offerings are there and the meaning behind it.
There's nothing to indicate they were removed by either municipal staff or people involved with that property?
Well, as far as I am aware, the school is not in operation. It hasn't been since after, I want to say a year probably after Tanya was found. I think the school closed down in 2010, I'm guessing. I'm not sure who owned the property, but I went down and yes, there are some there, but not as many.
I want to go back to the fundraiser itself. And as was noted, it's been a decade, 10 years, since this unsolved murder happened. There has been a lot said, a lot of information gathered. There's been much made of a committee, a group that's been looking at this and talking to family survivors, members of the community, about murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls. This fundraising page, there's a number set here at $500. What's the money for? What's the money supposed to go towards, Shelley?
So, Vanessa wanted to go, and we talked about how the closing ceremonies and the final report for the inquiry that's been taking place is happening in Ottawa. Actually, it's Gatineau, Quebec, and she said how she was hoping to go and fly out. And immediately as she's telling me, I go, what can I do? As a friend, I can, you know, do as much as I can for her because I really feel that it's important for her to go. You know, it's the same as if, you know, you want to support one of your friends who's, you know, going anywhere on a trip, but you know that this isn't just a trip or a vacation. She will have a closure, but obviously not, because you're going to be hearing the final findings of this report. And I just felt that if I could just put it out there, and I asked her permission, of course, and she said, sure. And I just thought, all right, I'll just do it for just the sake of doing it and just see what happens. This isn't my first time raising money to help. If somebody was to call me tomorrow with a need, I would do my best to help them, because that's just the kind of person I am. But I jumped on social media and just thought, all right, let me see if I can do this and pull it off. And so it's I just made a small amount and just thought if the money can go towards the cost of a taxi, meals, she's traveling up with her son, and there's, you know, she also has children as well, and he has children. Maybe it could go towards the cost of childcare. Mm-hmm. They're traveling. They'll be traveling by plane. I know they'll be staying in a hotel. I'm sure that some funding is secured for them right now, but I just wanted to just do this for her. And I hope that things work out. I hope that there's recommendations that we will all hear as Canadians as to what we can do to stop this violence from continuing to happen.
Shelley Sprague is here. It's a GoFundMe account if you want to do a search in memory of Tanya Brooks. You mentioned Vanessa. She did speak to the inquiry, the National Inquiry, and she's hoping to attend when this report is released in Gatineau on June 3rd. That's just a few days away. I want to thank you for, keeping this in the news, Shelley, for sharing with us and for talking about Tanya Brooks on the program this afternoon. Thank you, Shelley.
I also wanted to just mention that there is a campaign that Vanessa is a part of. I mentioned to her today that I would be speaking to you, mm-hmm. and she asked if I could just mentioned that the National Inquiry for the Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women and Girls has a series of images and videos, and it's for all Canadians to learn firsthand about the family members who have shared their experience. So I also hope that those that are listening will go take a look and learn how to be a change maker in your own community.
Thanks for speaking out, Shelley, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
Take care. Shelley Sprague. She has helped with this GoFundMe account. And if you're someone who knows, I know the family has been very upfront about saying there is someone out there who knows, obviously. And the Tanya Jean Brooks case is on the provincial government's Rewards for Major Unsolved Crimes website. It's part of the program that could see up to $150,000 for any information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the murder of Tanya Jean Brooks. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back to talk politics with the Green Party leader right after this. Is it a green day? Will it be a green election? There's a lot of attention being placed on the Green Party, the green wave, the green motions towards what? Government? Governance? We've been chatting about public opinion polls on the show today. As a matter of fact, a new poll from MQO Research yesterday suggests the Liberals slip, the Tories take the lead, but the Green Party has seen a substantial increase in its popularity, at least according to MQO. Today, joined on the line is the leader of Nova Scotia's Green Party, Dr. Thomas Trappenberg. Dr. Trappenberg, good time to be a Green Party member, is it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it has always been good to be a Green Party member, but it is, of course, wonderful to see that the people realizing, you know, that we are not just another party, that we are actually quite positive and looking in the future.
Well, and given that you say it's always been a good time, but there was a time not too long ago where there was some question as to who would be the leader of the Green Party, what was happening with the institution itself. You've certainly moved past that, but you had to return to politics in some ways to do this.
Yes, that's right. You know, our political system is not ideal for a kind of newish party to come up. I think it's now the time that people realize we are not just, you know, just tree huggers, or although I actually do like to hug trees, they're nice, but, you know, we are usually, you know, I'm a professor at the university, the leader of the Green Party in D.C. is a Nobel laureate physicist, and, you know, we have really educated people, and we are here because we need to save this environment for our children.
Thomas Trappenberg is here with us, and you've been, as you say, trying to bring attention to this party. Thomas, be honest, have you been at all wanting to be an elected representative, or is this about perhaps making sure people know what the Green Party stands for and what you stand for without it necessarily becoming your job?
Totally. I mean, I, you know, as a child, I wanted to become a scientist, so I became a scientist. And this was always on my primary reason to, you know, just to bring out tell the people what science tells us about where we are with our, you know, climate. But actually, I learned now a lot, especially in the last few months, I have to say, that it's not enough anymore to lobby the other parties. You know, they have shown that, of course, everybody will now say, yes, we have a climate emergency, and yeah, let's do something. But I don't think we see any real movement. So I'm at the point where I think this is more important than the science I do.
Thomas Trappenberg is here. So when we talk about Green Party Canada and Green Party Nova Scotia, are we talking about the same policies, same platforms?
Very much so. And, you know, I know people get confused, and quite frankly, it's also good because we have to work on all levels, and also, you know, the municipality can actually do a lot of things and does actually do a lot of things. So, you know, I run as a federal candidate in South Shore St. Margaret's now, but I'm still the provincial leader. And, you know, this is, as I said, confusing, but also really good because we have problems where we have to communicate across them. And of course, we will share the at some point. So if I'm getting elected to Ottawa, well, we need another leader.
Thomas Trappenberg is here. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Yesterday, two former high-profile cabinet members who had been, who had resigned and then were turfed from the Liberal Party decided they were going to run independently. There was some speculation that Jody Wilson-Raybould or Jane Philpott, one or both, might end up running for the Green Party. In fact, Elizabeth May commented on this yesterday. Wondering, is this a missed opportunity for the Green Party, Thomas?
Well, you know, I have to say my kudos to these fantastic women who have, you know, stood up for the beliefs. I think it's really difficult to run independently. As a Green Party, we are kind of a little bit a non-party party. So, you know, we are the only one who don't whip the vote. So they said yesterday, well, they don't want to have a leader who tells them what to do. Well, the Greens have that. I can stand up to Elizabeth, and I don't agree with all everything with her. But, you know, you asked particular about also the different, you know, the platforms and things like that. So, you know, we as individuals always bring in our constituents, our thoughts, and that's really important for us. And I think in so far, would have been fantastic in the Green Party, and we are happy to work with them. You know, maybe it's, I understand where they are in their own career, and maybe seeing after being, you know, treated like that, wanting to join another party might not be a good idea.
I'm wondering your thoughts. Green Party calls for Canada to stop using foreign oil and rely on Canadian oil instead. Is that something that you personally see as a progressive platform plank for the Green Party?
Yeah, I we have actually quite a few debates about that. I personally think, you know, we really have to move very aggressively. So I'm not so sure if we should really invest into new refining options, and also to, you know, now to maybe revisit the East Pipeline. So I'm not sure. I think we are very pragmatical. We want to see what is the best way that we can in 11 years get to, you know, a major reduction that we really meet the targets we need, and which we, by the way, even haven't still, you know, officially announced here. We still have the targets from the Harbaugh era. So I think I'm not so sure. I rather see all the options on the table. One thing is clear, we have to really move very rapidly.
And okay, so let's, from a federal perspective to a very local and a community perspective, Richard Zarowski, councillor for District 12 and HRM, says we need to do more about drive-throughs and regulate those. Where do you stand on that, Thomas?
Well, you know, our way we live has to change quite a bit. I think it's quite fun to walk into places. So, you know, just thinking about how we really, you know, made a society where we can't even communicate with other people is actually a shame. So I think it's a great idea to start thinking about these things.
We spoke with an economist who says that's probably not going to have a huge impact on our whole greenhouse gas emissions issue about the carbon emissions in this country, in this planet, and what somehow making every one of us individually responsible seems to kind of let off the big polluters and emitters in the world.
Yes, you know, my opinion is that we are really missing out on also huge economic opportunities. You know, we are in the hands of the oil industry, which is trying to convince us that this is where the jobs are. The reality is, as has been shown in many other countries, that now many more jobs are in the green economy. So, and this is where we have to move to. There are really a lot of options, and therefore, you know, just put it on individuals. Let's do a little bit of recycling. Let's drive a little bit less. It's really not the solution. We have to go much bigger steps forward.
And that's a much more difficult sell. Dr. Thomas Trappenberg, I thank you for being a part of this conversation on the show today.
Thank you very much, Sheldon. Always a pleasure to be with
you. Take care. Bye-bye. Thomas Trappenberg has mentioned not just Green Party of Nova Scotia leader, but also a candidate in the upcoming election in South Shore, St. Margaret's, or St. Margaret's, South Shore. I don't know. They changed the name. I've got to do some more research. But we've got to do some research to talk about our next guest. Honorary Colonel of 8 Air Maintenance Squadron, Mr. Samuel Reed. Honorary Colonel Reed will join us to talk about a little band he was in called Tokyo. Yeah, it was Tokyo. And then it became Glass Tiger. And they're going to be opening up, I understand, for Corey Hart next week. Going to be in town. We'll tell you more from Sam Reed and Scotiabank Center's star performer, Glass Tiger. We'll be back after this. I don't want to talk over the lyrics. That would be inappropriate. It seemed that way. But we have to. We've got business at hand. Welcome back to the Sheldon McLeod Show. sing along. All right, let's draw him into the conversation here this afternoon. Coming up, next week, June 4th at Scotiabank Center, it'll be a chance for you to reminisce and hear those songs from our youth, from our childhood. We are joined by Honorary Colonel of 8 Air Maintenance Squadron, Mr. Samuel Reed. Sam, how are you? How you doing?
I'm very good. I'm not used to that honorary colonel induction. That's awesome.
Well, you know, I know a few people who have been named honorary colonels, and you know, this is not unusual. There are a number of you, and in fact, I know someone, Dan Hennessy, who's right now at a conference out west. There's a conference of honorary colonels. So, what can you kind of take us to what that role meant to you? You were named for the squadron in Trenton, Ontario.
Yes, and I'm actually just wrapping up an extended term as honorary colonel. Normally, it's about 3 years, and I'm approaching my 7th year. So, it's such an honor. Glass Tiger has, since 1996, has been involved in doing some overseas and at home tours for our fine folks in the military, and been overseas in Afghanistan a few times, and it's just an awesome honor to go and perform, and then my name come up in a list, and they said, we like to post honorary colonels from various walks of life. Some of them are from ex-military, some of them are business, some are sports personalities, and some are musicians. So I got the honor to represent Air Maintenance 8 AMS in Trenton, Ontario.
And we've got Sam Reed here with us, and Sam, do you come from a military family?
My father, I know we're in Halifax chatting here. My dad was in the Navy in Halifax during World War II. I don't think he had a very lengthy career in the Navy, but that's our military connection. I did have a great grandfather in Newfoundland that served in a regiment. But that's about the military connection in our family. But it's I know my father would have been thrilled with my appointment as honorary colonel, that's for sure.
He is called one of the founding keyboardists with Glass Tiger. The sound is iconic. It is somewhat a time capsule when we listen back to some of those great songs, those songs that, touched hearts and made the charts. When we talk about Sam Reed in Glass Tiger in 2019, what's that like for you?
Well, we're actually having so much fun. It's an odd place to be looking back at 33 years. For one reason, it felt like it was last week, so it does go rather quickly, and you can't believe until you see it kind of mapped out that 30 years would just fly by like that. And we've been a very fortunate band to be one of the few bands, except for like maybe the Rolling Stones, that have this longevity internally. We realize that that's a great thing to celebrate. So in 2019, we're looking back at a very fortunate career, and the fact that we're able to still tour across the country, and people are still coming out and singing the songs, and we still hear them on radio. That's how can you not be thrilled with that? And we're going to ride it out as long as everyone stays healthy and we keep having fun.
You mentioned the health issue. I went looking for a few interviews with you, Sam, and of course, the issue with the lead singer of the band, having a bit of a health scare. What was that like for you when Alan Frew was diagnosed was hospitalized with a stroke?
Yes, that was obviously, these things aren't, you don't have any idea. They can come out of nowhere, just like regular life. I mean, that's what life throws at us. And the band was heading in to basically celebrate our 30th anniversary when Alan had a stroke, 2015. And, of course, all of it goes on hold. The main thing is to get your health back. And a year in recovery, thankfully, he said, listen, I'm back. I'm going to sing, and I feel great singing. And we were like, great, so we will just pretend the 30th just flew by, and we put out a little project called 31, and now we have an album called 33. So we figured at this stage in our celebration, we might as well number them as they come at us.
We've got Sam Reed of Glass Tiger on the air. You were, and I was reading an article, you started off, you were playing cover songs. What kind of tunes were you playing when you guys first formed this band in Newmarket?
We had a really wide cross section. It's funny, we would play Zeppelin and Def Leppard and Rush, and then we'd play Flock of Seagulls and Men at Work and some of the British bands. It was a very strange thing. We had our foot in both of the camps because half of the band came from more of a guitar rock format, and then of course having Alan, a transplanted Brit Scotsman. You know, he had a real close connection to the Beatles and the Stones and Rod Stewart. And so he brought that sensibility into the band. And I think that's why our song selection, or when we started writing music, it is such a wide, you've got pop songs like Don't Forget Me. And then you've got a song like Ancient Evenings or whatever, which is very progressive. And that's the name, Glass Tiger. We figured it represents both sides of the coin.
Sam Reed of Glass Tigers here, the band at Scotiabank Center, June 4th. It might feel a bit like a bit of a time warp, talking Corey Hart, Glass Tiger in the same conversation.
Well, the one thing that's really we're looking forward to is Corey had a head start on us. He was out and had some major success just ahead of us. But we were label mates. We were both signed to Capitol Records in the early years, and we used to do a lot of media where we'd bump into him, and we certainly, were fans and knew of his music and the fact that he was, I used to tell people, wow, Corey's on our label with us, or we're on the label with him, either, however you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. But over the years, we never had an opportunity, and of course, Corey didn't tour for 20 years until now, which makes it even more special, that he would call and invite us on this Never Surrender tour. So it's great. After this many years of being label mates, we finally get to do some concerts together.
He had mentioned it had been, decades since he'd been in Halifax. When was the last time Sam Reed was in Halifax?
Actually, I was there for an Honorary Colonel conference. we were in Shearwater, and we did... they move our conferences around. So I was there most recently on one of the military exercises and gatherings. And it's been probably a couple of years for Glass Tiger, but we've been in and out a few times to do various shows. Actually, I believe the last time officially would have been on the Johnny Reed tour. We did a small set, a little cameo in his tour. So that would be probably, that was a year and a half ago.
Sam Reed of Glass Tiger. The band will be at Scotiabank Center June 4th, part of the Corey Hart Never Surrender tour. So Sam, what is it like pulling on a comfortable pair of jeans? Is it just everything fits? It just works the way it always did and you just hit the ground running? Or what kind of work do you have to put in to get ready, given, how much attention people are paying towards Corey Hart's return to the music industry?
Well, I know Corey is rehearsing like a madman. I we've been getting little updates. He's, I think, in Montreal getting ready for the tour, and I know how hard he's been working. And, for us, even though we have been touring and we have maybe a bit more than he has, we still, if there's been a month or two that we haven't done shows, we still get together. Sometimes we look at each other in the room and we think, do we really need to play Don't Forget Me, again, after 33 years of playing it? But we do. We just going to go through, just a refresher, just to kind of make sure it's fresh in our mind before we step out on the stage. And we're looking forward to, and you said nostalgia. We're definitely going to do a lot of the hits, and it'll be a walk down memory lane when we come out there with Corey.
You heard it here first. Glass Tiger may not play Don't Forget Me when they're here in Halifax. I'm kidding, Sam. Sam Reed is here.
Alan actually has fun. He always says to the audience, he mentions it and they erupt, and he says, yeah, we're not doing that one tonight. And of course, that just gets a laugh, and we always do it.
Sam Reed from Glass Tiger. My producer, Matt Brand, was a huge fan. I'm drawing him into the conversation. He's reluctantly being dragged into this. He was, what was it, in grade what, Matt?
I want to say grade 5.
Yeah.
Did you have to say that?
No. Well, yes, I did. It helps the story. So when I was a kid, me and my friends, we were going to go on the talent show, the school's talent show. And originally we were going to do like a hip-hop dance. And I think our parents kind of saved us and said, that's not a good idea because we couldn't dance. But anyway, so I still wanted to be in the talent show desperately. So my favorite band, Glass Tiger, obviously. So I had my tape that I just worn out. I just worn out Diamond Sun. So I had the stereo set up there. I put the tape in and I sang along with the title track, obviously, Diamond Sun. And I put my poured my heart into it, Sam. And by the time it was over, my the one person judging this to see who would go in the talent show, it was my music teacher. And she I finished the song, and she looked at me and she said, "Well, you certainly know the words."
Okay, that's polite.
It was devastating, Sam. I've never been the same since.
Well, you know, Diamond Sun, you need to spend some time with Alan, get a little coaching, and, you know, you never know. Miracles.
That's right. Are you listening, Miss McNutt? Are you out there? Because I got Sam Reed on the phone with me, and we're going to figure this out.
Calling out the music teacher.
That's great. Well, I'm so glad that you picked the Glass Tiger song. We can't help you with the hip hop stuff, but the Diamond Sun is a great choice.
Well, I'm gonna try to find the karaoke version of that tonight.
Sam, we're really glad we could connect with you here today. You'll be in Halifax, I assume, a little bit ahead of the show on June 4th. You're gonna be spending some time wandering the streets of Halifax.
Oh, you'll see us out there. Yeah, now the tour is moving, so we start in the east and head west. So from Halifax, we go on, from there. But we do have a couple of days, and I have my favorite haunts in Halifax over the years. The Misty Moon isn't there anymore from our early years, but we found some new ones, and they're equally fun, and we always have a great time.
Our guest on the program this afternoon has been Honorary Colonel Reed. You know him as the keyboard player of Glass Tiger, Sam Reed. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you very much, guys. We look forward to seeing you in Halifax.
Rock on. Take care. Safe travels. Again, our guest on the show, Sam Reed. So, Matt, how'd that feel? You got that off your chest?
I was right back in the classroom singing. I'm sweating bullets. It was horrible.
Perfect. Glad I could help accommodate you living out your dreams or said nightmares. We're going to take a break, and in just a few seconds, the head coach of the Dalhousie men's basketball team. What are the impact of the Raptors making it to the NBA final to play that other team? Isn't that what the Bill Morneau called them, that other team? I hope they beat the other team. I think that's what he said.
He said a bunch of nonsense. I don't know.
We'll be right back after this. We're going to be talking a little bit of baseball on the show after 2 this afternoon. Dennis Woodworth has been on the program many times. He's the president of Caribbean Goodwill Tours. And obviously in the winter time, taking a group of Canadians to Cuba to play baseball, well, who wouldn't want to go? But this is an exchange program. And Cuban athletes, Cuban baseball players have been brought back to Canada, to Nova Scotia, to participate in a number of tours, be a part of the community, and enjoy what it is to, you know, be in the best province in the world. But because the Canadian embassy in Cuba is shut down, that's causing some issues. We'll talk to Dennis Woodworth about that and hear more from Dr. Robert Hewish, who is an associate professor at Dalhousie University's International Studies Department, about Cuba. Let's talk basketball, and let's talk a little bit about the Toronto Raptors as they get set to open up the NBA Finals. A lot of people have been waiting a long time for this opportunity to hear or to see, to participate and to watch. We've got Richard Plato, the head coach of Dalhousie's men's basketball team, on the line with us this afternoon. Coach Plato, thanks for doing this.
No problem at all. My pleasure, Sheldon.
You obviously, like many of us, are watching as the Raptors get set to take on this NBA championship, first time in franchise history. Just curious, your perspective, what does this mean for a franchise to get to this point?
Well, I'll tell you, I've followed basketball a long time, been involved with it a long time, and I can remember when the Raptors came in, and in the earlier years, it was a struggle. I mean, it was a hockey dominated market, and any franchise just starting out, it's difficult. Sometimes you don't get the best draft choices, you don't get what's the best players available. But the way Toronto has done it, they've been patient. In the early years, when they did manage to get some decent players like Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady, they certainly made an impact. As terms of popularity, but then they moved on. And, I think that it's been a slow process, but the popularity of basketball in Canada has grown by leaps and bounds. And with the large number of Canadians that are now playing in the NBA and playing south of the border, it's certainly, I don't think it's ever going to replace hockey, even come close, but there certainly is a tremendous following. And anybody watched the game the other night, the impact of basketball in Toronto and across the country, Jurassic Park, in the Scotiabank Arena, it was crazy. And I think this Thursday, it's going to be phenomenal in that arena.
When a player like Kawhi Leonard comes along and a franchise looks at him, my producer's been saying, don't anybody ask this man where he's going to play basketball next year. There is something to be said about the star power.
Well, I'll tell you. You know, over the last couple of years, you know, Toronto's been close. They've had some really good regular seasons. And with the guard-oriented offense they had, I think, you know, Masai Ujiri, he's their president. He's certainly made some tough calls, some tough decisions, and trading DeMar DeRozan wasn't an easy call. Firing the coach of the year wasn't an easy call. But, you know, the only regrets in life are the risk you don't take. And the two biggies, hiring Nick Nurse, but taking a shot at Kawhi. And I think Kawhi has, born witness to the fact that Masai's risk was worth the gamble. He's got him in the conference final, and I think we won't know until probably the middle of the summer what he's going to do. But if he does decide to leave, he's certainly given Canada and Toronto and basketball fans across this country an awful lot to get excited about. But I'm just hoping for the best. And unlike a lot of pundits down south, I think the Raptors have a real shot.
We've got Coach Plato here. Richard Plato, the head coach of the Dalhousie Men's Tigers basketball team. What about the impact? What does this do to the sport and to the evolution of the sport when you have a Canadian team in the final?
Well, I'll tell you. I think the popularity of basketball has been on the rise for a number of years. I don't think it's all of a sudden somebody snapped their fingers and the popularity of basketball has gone from 0 to 100. I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's been growing for the last 15, 20 years. But, as far as having some national pride, even though, we really don't have any Canadian players on the team, although over the years we've had a few, I think that, from coast to coast, there's a lot of popularity. And my hope is that, the growth of the game will just be spurred on more by it. Both, both young girls and young boys will be motivated, be excited, be, spurred on to get involved. I mean, it's not nearly as expensive as hockey and some of the other sports. So, I think it can't do anything but make a positive impact on the growth and popularity of basketball in Canada.
I've got a nephew who's a huge fan, and when you hear, okay, they make the finals, the Raptors are into the NBA championship, but then ticket prices skyrocket.
That certainly is a negative. Toronto tickets for the Leafs during the regular season, even the Raptors now, it's crazy. When I was young, I grew up in Fort Erie, Ontario, right across the border from Buffalo, when they used to have an NBA team, the Buffalo Braves. And me and my buddies would go over, we'd buy orange tickets for $3 and go sit down in the Reds because it wasn't nearly packed. And every once in a while, the team would get to the playoffs with some great teams. And then, they just, with each round, they would just jack them up. But some of the prices I'm hearing, tens of thousands of dollars for courtside seats, I think it's insane. But, it's what the market dictates. So, if people have got that kind of money to throw around, then all the more power to them. It just going to make it tougher for the average fan to be able to afford tickets to go and see it. So, you got Jurassic Park, you've got TV, so it's everywhere there. But to be in there on, the other night must have been an unbelievable experience. I watched it on TV like a lot of Nova Scotians, but to be in that type of an arena under those circumstances for the first time, it's pretty amazing.
We're talking about professional basketball with the coach of the Dalhousie Tigers. Can we talk about the Hurricanes? Here's a professional basketball team. They've been struggling to find people to sit in the stands.
Well, I'll tell you, the Hurricanes, it's a tough call. Every one of the players on that team are solid players, and they're just, they're kind of chasing their dream. I know. Over the years, there have been a few local guys. I know some guys from St. Mary's, and Terry Thomas is there now, who played at X. They're just hoping for that last opportunity. And, I can't really explain. I'll tell you, their season more or less sort of conflicts with ours. So it makes it hard because, during my season, during the university season, my time is pretty much devoted and focused on that. But, I've seen a few of the games. There's no question they're talented players. And, I think name recognition, you mentioned with guys like Kawhi or any of the NBA guys, you know, it's the star power that would, you know, be the attraction. But, you know, I know the locals have, you know, the local ownership have done as much as they can. And like I said, it's a good product. It's entertaining basketball. It's quality basketball. You know, for a purist or a traditionalist like me, I mean, there's not much defense and they get up and down the court. But, you know, again, you know, the younger crowd, that they love it. I think the tickets are affordable, and you know, the more we can have access to it and the young people have access to it, that's a positive thing.
We will leave it at that, and perhaps we'll get your thoughts as the playoff series, as the championship series unfolds. Coach Plato, thanks for doing this, sir.
Sheldon, it's been my pleasure anytime.
All the best to you.
All right, bye-bye.
That's Coach Richard Plato from Dalhousie Men's Tigers. The sign of a good coach is one who can bring out the best in their players, and the sign of a great interview is I didn't sound stupid. So I'll give Coach Plato full credit for that. All right, so Matt, you anything about what the coach just said you disagree with?
No. Okay. No, I'm just still thinking about buying more guacamole.
You need lots of lemon or lime and just enough salt. That's the only hint.
I have a confession to make, actually, about that.
What's that? Why?
I've been buying store-bought. I've been buying pre-made guacamole. I would like to make my own, but at this point, I can't.
Well, no, you'll jeopardize the entire championship series if you do that now.
Their chance of winning the title, it depends on me buying store-bought pre-made guacamole.
Absolutely. And
I can't do anything about it at this point.
Don't change the chips either.
No.
No. You can change your
underwear.
I
actually rotated the chips, I'll be honest.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you could rotate your underwear too, but...
Pita chips, nacho chips, both acceptable.
Gotcha.
In this situation.
We're going to Grand Pre National Historic Site after this. Steve Smith will be our interpreter. We'll be back after this news update.